Our scripture reading today is from 2 Kings, and this is the story of Elijah and Elisha. Not long before the Lord took Elijah up into heaven in a strong wind, Elijah then said to Elisha, "Now the Lord wants me to go to the Jordan River, but you must stay here." Elisha replied, "I swear by the living Lord and by your own life that I will never leave you." So the two of them walked on together. 50 prophets followed Elijah and Elisha from Jericho and then stood at a distance and watched as the two men walked toward the river. When they got there, Elijah took off his coat, and then he rolled it up, and he struck the water with it. At once, a path opened through the river, and the two of them walked across on dry ground. After they had reached the other side, Elijah said, "Elisha, the Lord will soon take me away. What can I do for you before that happens?" Elisha answered, "Please give me twice as much of your power as you can give the other prophets, so I can be the one who takes your place as their leader." "It won't be easy," Elijah answered. "It can happen only if you see me as I am being taken away." Elijah and Elisha were walking along and talking when suddenly there appeared between them a flaming chariot pulled by fiery horses. Right away, a strong wind took Elijah up into heaven. Elisha saw this and he shouted, "Israel's cavalry and chariots have taken my master away." After Elijah had gone, Elisha tore his clothes in sorrow. Here ends the reading. Will you pray with me, please? Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we celebrate your love and compassion and seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. Now, once upon a time, a very long time ago, in summer, when I was in high school, that's a long time ago, Arizona was having a drought, and Canyon Lake was very, very low. My family went to the dry lake bed to see and experience this lake that we had often fished on. It was strange walking on ground that is normally under many feet of water. Now, my mother Olive, rest in peace, was walking on the dry, cracked lake bed when she found a potsherd. It was not large, just a painted and broken piece of pottery that was obviously Native American. She took it home and washed it. As soon as the warm water touched the shard, the smell of smoke filled the air, the smell of campfires long past. Later, she said, it was a transcendent moment, a moment when God connected her with the ancient tribe that made the pot, with the women of all the generations who, like Olive, cooked for their families, cleaned, had babies, and watched the Arizona sun set over the desert. The cultural and time differences fell away, and for that shining moment, all the women of the world, from long time ago down to today, held hands in the universe. This story makes me think about Sarah and Abraham in their tent, of Elijah and Elisha traveling together, the Native American women in the desert, and the African Americans who followed the Underground Railroad north, and we as urban dwellers. We are each connected. We all share a deep humanness. Fundamentally, we are the same, generation after generation, yet we are all so different. Our every act impacts the world around us for all the generations that follow us. Philosophy professor Obert C. Tanner writes that the dominant fact of the 20th century is that the entire population of the earth is now included within a single community. There are no more ocean barriers, no mountain barriers, no barriers of the North and South Poles, no barriers of any kind. There is only one race now, the human race, he writes. And so we hear the ancient story of the prophet Elijah and his disciple Elisha. They don't speak of it, but they both know that Elijah's time here on earth is coming to an end. Elijah is old, blind, and ready to go home. Elisha, on the other hand, is hurting and fearing Elijah's departure. He's not sure he's ready to be a prophet, and he's not sure how he will go about carrying on Elijah's work. But we all know it's inevitable. Elijah's earthly life is at an end. And he tells Elisha, "You must watch what happens. If you see me go, you will be okay," Elijah tells him. And so Elisha does watch. He has to watch out. He cries out, "It hurts, oh, it hurts. Oh, oh, Father, my Father," he cries. And here today, we are connected to his pain at seeing his teacher, his best friend, his master leave earth, never to return. We are connected to his pain just as my mother was connected to the life force of the Native American women. We are connected to his pain just as we are connected to the suffering of the African Americans who were brought here forcibly to horrible bondage and separation from family, culture, language, and religion. How many times do we see and witness things we don't want to see? How many of us have been at the bedside of a loved one as death nears, or as a patient suffers and struggles with illness? How many times have we seen the planes crashing into the World Trade Towers? How many times did we see the coverage from Sandy Hook, Ferguson, and New York City? How often do you see, even today, the vicious beating of Rodney King and Watts in flames? And when did you learn of the church bombing in Birmingham, in which four little African-American girls lost their lives? How often have you seen the painful signs posted for people looking for a missing child? When have you driven past a serious auto accident? And when have you stood outside in the dark, holding on to someone whose house is on fire? Or sat with a parent who lost a child to violence or combat? We are indeed all one in our humanity. Zen Buddhist Thich Nhat Hanh writes, "If you look deeply into the palm of your hand, you will see your parents and all the generations of your ancestors. All of them are alive in this moment. Each is present in your body. You are a continuation of these people." We are connected. And we know that there are many things that we cannot solve, hurts that we cannot heal, pain that we cannot relieve, and deaths we cannot avoid. How then can we use our humanity, our connectedness, to serve each other? Dutch Catholic priest Henry Nouwen has written, "The real question is not what can we offer each other, but what can we be for each other?" Serving others is as simple as a smile and a friendly word. It can be a phone call or a card or even a quiet touch. It can be as important as a prayer, a hot meal, or a quiet presence. Serving others can be as simple as giving from your financial resources to serve others through the church. It can be as simple as volunteering and giving your time to serve others through the church. Everyone can serve. Everyone can make a difference. Let us pray. Dear God, help us each to hear your call. Guide us so that we can see how best to serve others. Lift us up so that we do not become arrogant in caring for others. Grant that we serve without expectation of appreciation, gratitude, or recognition. Make us content to serve in your name, quietly, honestly, sincerely, and with your love in our hearts. Grant that we may be able to know your call in your quiet voice of love. Amen.